You may be surprised to note that there is a great deal of similarity between the church's theology of the sacrament of the Eucharist and the church's theology of the sacrament of matrimony. It's no coincidence, for example, that in many churches, especially cathedrals and larger churches, and many of them in Europe, that you'll find over the altar a canopy that is very much reminiscent of a canopy over a bed. This is not a coincidence, because what happens in the sacrament of the Eucharist at every Mass is likened to the exchange of love between a husband and wife. So the sacrament of the Eucharist is not merely about bringing forth bread and wine and seeing them, or through the eyes of faith, seeing them changed into the body and blood of Christ and then given to the people. Just like the sacrament of holy matrimony is not just about living under the same roof and sharing meals together. Those are part of the sacrament, but they're not the essence. What happens at the altar is that a covenant is fashioned. I usually tell couples that I'm preparing for marriage that there's a big difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract is a legal arrangement whereby, you know, certain requirements are set out about the exchange of goods and services. And if those goods and services are not exchanged in the proper way, according to the things, the structure that's laid out, the contract can be destroyed. It's broken. You can tear it up, and it's a thing of the past. Whereas a covenant is not destructible like that. A covenant is the exchange, not of goods and services, but of persons. When a man and woman stand before the altar on their wedding day, they are saying to one another, I belong to you now. I am no longer my own. I give myself to you. In the Eucharist, this covenant is made between God and us, his people. In this sacrament, God says, I am giving myself to you. I belong to you. I am yours. But you are also mine. And that's where sometimes a danger creeps in. Because we can be very easily tempted to want to get without having to give. We like the idea of receiving a lot of money without having to work too hard for it. There's a reason that the Washington State Lottery makes the kind of money that it does. We like the idea of having good health without having to change our diet. The notion of losing weight without having to exercise is also very attractive to us. We might like to go fast in our car without having to face the prospect of paying a ticket. Many people these days like to have the benefits of married life without making the commitment. And many married couples like to enjoy the marital embrace without being open to the creation of new life. See, we could go on and on and on about so many different situations in life where we like to have the pleasure without the cost. We like to receive the gift without having a responsibility imposed on us. But all of you here know that's not how it works. There's no get-rich schemes. You have to work for a living. There's no magic diet pill. There's no changing our health without changing what we put into our body. And on and on and on. That's just how life is. If we want to receive a gift from God, we know that we also have a responsibility that comes along with that gift. And so it is in the covenant with God. Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him on the last day. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you'll remain in me, and I will remain in you." But how many people want the benefits of a relationship with Jesus without the obligation? We want the love. We want the mercy. We want forgiveness. We want peace in our hearts. We want joy in our lives. We want blessings in our work, in our households, in our families. And yet, sometimes, it's hard to acknowledge that we have to give in this relationship as well. It's a covenant. God says to us, "Yes, I belong to you. I am yours." But then he's listening for us to say, "Thank you, Lord. I, in turn, live my life for you." In the spiritual life, it just doesn't work to expect to get without giving. That's the dynamic of the covenant. We've seen it many times in marriages. Many marriages fail because a person is expecting to get without having to give. There are many Christians out there. They want to experience the nice, kind, loving, merciful Jesus. But when it comes to the hard teachings about sacrifice and being bold in standing up for the truth and laying down our lives for others, that's where the ears get a little bit closed. So reception of Holy Communion is an expression of the covenantal relationship that exists. When we receive Holy Communion, we are acknowledging God belongs to us and we belong to God. But at the same time, we're acknowledging that we need help in living up to our side of that covenantal relationship. We need God's help to let ourselves belong to God. We want to belong to ourselves. We want to hold on to control of our lives and be the masters of our life. Where we go, what we do, everything. But the covenant means we belong to God. And the more we can give ourselves to God, the more we experience the outpouring of his graces and blessings in our life.